Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Wednesday, June 10th, 2015, and on today's podcast, we're going to discuss the relationship between the United States and China, as well as the continuing battle of the Obama administration for passage of fast-track status for the Trans-Pacific Partnership. What does fast-track status mean? Senator Jeff Sessions, Republican of Alabama, enlightens us. In an open letter to President Obama, he said, quote, this is the definition of fast-track status. He said, Congress transfers its authority to the executive and agrees to give up several of its most basic powers, end quote. Now, continuing his quote, these concessions include the power to write legislation, the power to amend legislation, the power to fully consider legislation on the floor, the power to keep debate open until the Senate cloture rule is invoked, and the constitutional requirement that treaties receive a two-thirds vote, end quote. So, fast-track status, Mr. Sessions says, would negate all those things. This flies in the face of many warnings in our founding documents about tyranny and about the abuse of power, especially the abuse of consolidating power into one branch of government. But we know that power corrupts the mind and the morals. And if Congress gives in, for whatever reason, power will be consolidated and power will be concentrated and abused. Senator Sessions, who is one of only a very few people who has actually read the details of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, said that it will create, quote, a new transnational government called the Trans-Pacific Partnership Commission. Quote, implications of this new Pacific Union are extraordinary and ought to be discussed in full in public before Congress even contemplates fast-tracking its creation and pre-surrendering its power to apply the constitutional two-thirds treaty vote. In effect, adopt fast track is to remove constitutional protections against the creation of global governance structures even before these structures are even made public, end quote. Political leaders are by definition people who desire dominance and control over others. They are drawn to political leadership for these very reasons. Their collusion and vying for power, even within their own group, seems to have no end, judging from the statements collected from many of these people over many years. There can be little doubt that some political leaders consider themselves to be part of a new world order. These people obviously see themselves as those who expect to come out of this battle as rulers instead of as ruled. Secrecy and betrayal seem to be part of their nature as they continually betray even each other, let alone us. Fortunately, we still have WikiLeaks, which just announced it's offering a $100,000 reward to the next whistleblower that reveals what's really in the Trans-Pacific Partnership documents. If someone has the information and takes the money, the whole thing could implode as the public finds out what these documents actually say. As Louis Brandeis said, quote, sunlight is said to be the best disinfectant. In the meantime, we know that this same class of global governance, political leadership that we've been talking about will occasionally lie to us. And to that end, keeping the discussion in the Pacific region, the Obama administration just disclosed to us the biggest single breach of government computer networks in history. They first noticed this breach in April, but held on to the news until now. I wonder why. Hackers got the personal information of 4 million current and former federal employees. The federal government quickly blamed China for this breach, which, by the way, has not yet been invited into the Trans-Pacific Partnership. So, they blamed China, but they gave not a shred of supporting evidence. The media quickly echoed the federal cue and decided a federal announcement is all the evidence they need. So, the government is telling the 4 million people to monitor their credit reports. Who did it? Who knows? Maybe China. But soon the next strategic and economic dialogue will be held. That is an annual meeting between the United States and China. Could it be that this hacking is simply political fodder for those meetings? If that's not enough, folks, the annual Shangri-La Dialogue, catchy name, huh? Shangri-La Dialogue was just held in Singapore. That is a meeting held every year in which the defense heads of the Pacific nations all meet to discuss what mischief China is up to. And China says it's just business, folks. The differences with China seem more difficult, more irreconcilable this year. Ashton Carter, U.S. Secretary of Defense, warned China, quote, against further militarization of the sea. This is all over China filling in some rocks and low-lying areas in the South China Sea to make islands. The dispute with China over filling in the sea around the islands is a touchy one. No one knows exactly what to make of it, but under the United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea, sovereignty depends on the land. Countries can claim 12 nautical miles of territorial sea and 200 nautical miles of exclusive economic zone off the coast of their mainlands and habitable islands. Uninhabitable rocks get only the territorial waters, but no exclusive economic zone protection. Rocks that are submerged at high tide have no waters at all. The status of the places where China is building is uncertain. It's not clear whether these are islands or rocks or whatever, but some may be rocks with territorial waters, some low tide elevations with only natural features count, however, under the law of the sea, despite never having ratified it. America does adhere to the law of the sea treaty, although it is not clear who owns these rocks and reefs. As one American naval officer joked, we're pretty sure it's not us. In summary, folks, trade agreements are the constitutions of global governance, and Trans-Pacific Partnership is the worst one ever. Completely secret, hidden from the American people, but turning 80% of the American economy over to international tribunals, this agreement, should be let out of its cage into the light of day so we can see it. At least that's the way I see it, folks. Until next time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.